Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jim Ostroff is here, too, because otherwise I'd have to do this by myself, and that's no fun. Joan Pride is on vacation, and we got the outstanding Kiplinger editor, Jim Ostroff, joining us, sitting in for Joan, and we really appreciate him being here. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
And you know, if Joan keeps this up, it's going to be her sitting in for you. And you'll start getting the big bucks that we pay.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I can count on it.
That's right.
Count on a good time. Yeah.
Let's talk about inflation. You know, Jim, if you think about what's happened over the last 3 to 4 years,
right,
we've been on a little bit of a roller coaster. We inflation was in check early on, and then there was a period of time about, 2 years ago,
right,
the Fed was actually afraid of deflation. They were concerned about deflation. And as you know, inflation is the Fed's enemy, but deflation is their worst nightmare.
Oh, and it absolutely would be. Yeah.
And so my point is, look what's happened. We've gone from no, you know, very mild inflation for a while to the potential for deflation for probably about less than a year's time. We teetered on a little bit of a tendency maybe towards deflation, and they adjusted interest rates all the way down to 1 point on the Fed funds rate,
right,
and 4 points on prime, which was just,
right,
unheard of,
right,
and that was that way for a while. But now here we are only a couple of years later, and inflation is back on the radar screen, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and Fed is very concerned that, you know, we may see this just get away from us. Fresh in everyone's memory, although somewhat distant, the situation in the late 70s, going to early 80s, where you're routinely looking at double-digit inflation that was eroding so much. We're nowhere near that now, but they're very concerned that things might heat up too fast. It would get away from us, so they've been tamping down, and we will see what happens.
Well, and the thing I was involved in the 70s. I remember the inflation period in the,
right,
70s.
Yeah.
And where that inflation is different from this inflation, that inflation wasn't caused by a big expansion. You know, we had a tough time. The mid-70s had, yeah, a horrible recession.
That's right.
And the economy wasn't all that good, but yet we still had inflation.
That's right. It was stagflation.
Exactly. And so the economy was bad, not all that good, but we still had inflation. Now, though, things are different. This inflation, there's a productive and positive reason for inflation, and that's that the economy is growing, wages are growing, companies have pricing power. The only negative to the inflation, really, in my opinion, the only dysfunctional part about inflation right now, in my opinion, Jim, is the fuel prices. If gasoline were $45 a barrel, we would have we wouldn't have as much inflation. We'd have maybe one of the most productive and functional economies in the history, maybe, of the country.
Correct. We're not likely to see gas pump prices, go down appreciably in the next few years. But that is absolutely it. Save for energy prices, it's an economy most would kill for.
Right. And as we're going to talk in a minute, it's a global. One of our economists, Bill Dunkelberg, last week said we're in the middle of a global expansion. And see, that's where One of the reasons why inflation hasn't been any, you know, a lot of people are mad at globalization. A lot of people think globalization is the enemy and that outsourcing is the enemy and all that kind of stuff. But they've been watching too much Lou Dobbs. And they need to quit, doing that because Lou Dobbs is dangerous. I've said that before. I'm going to say it again. He only talks about one side of the issue, only one half of the pendulum swing does he talk about. But the truth is, Jim, globalization has done more to hold down inflation than anything else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, say what you will about this, and it's always pluses and minuses, but absolutely that has worked wonders to give tens of million consumers lower prices, better values, that trade-off. And I must say, one reason, of course, energy prices are so high, in part, is because, by and large, all of the major economies worldwide are firing in sync, and they're all doing very well. That is boosting demand. And there are other reasons, too. But while we don't love high energy prices, but that it's another sign, though, actually, of very robust economic health nearly worldwide.
Right. That's exactly right. And in fact, let's just go ahead and get into your, and this is a great little block here, a great little graphic that you guys have, Jim, on page one of the Kiplinger letters. And that's what's happening to the, you guys forecast what the 06, you report what the 05 growth was for these, the various sectors of the planet. But then you predict what's going to be for 06. And, you know, everybody's up. I mean, the Eurozone, which was literally languishing at 1.3, is predicted to be, a paltry 2%. And we might not like the number, but we got to like the trend, Jim, for Europe, for example.
Considering with Europe so often, the concern is that in a given year it may be down.
Right.
But it's up a little more. The trend is good.
And Japan seems to be out of their recession. They're going to be firing this year at almost 3% growth, which they were in a 15-year recession. United Kingdom is up a good bit. Brazil's doing better. India and China are the only two that are down a little bit, but both of them have been running around the track way too fast.
Oh, yes, and they're still up closer to 10% than 5%.
The number's still crazy.
It's still very high.
So all of that, what does all that mean, folks? All this global expansion, as Bill Dunkelberg called it, well, what that does is that puts upward pressure on everything because you got all this expansion. With expansion comes demand, or maybe I should say with demand comes expansion, Jim, you know, depending on whether you're talking about the chicken or the egg.
But the point is
there are a lot of people out there wanting stuff, and a lot of our stuff is either finite or takes time to make. And so we're going to talk about what all this global expansion means to mine and your small business with our good friend Jim Ostroff right after these messages. Here's Tony Williams. He's the lead singer of The Platters, great band out of the 50s. Stay with us.
And make the darkness bright.
Back, it's 23 after the hour. Jim Ostroff is our guest. Welcome back, folks. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for hanging around that site and using it to your advantage. I believe it will help you. I believe if you're trying to start, run, or grow a small business, or all three of those at the same time, then I think you'll find some stuff there that will help you. Our blog comes, we'll send it to you 5 days a week, or you can come and get it whenever you want to. It's updated every day. The newsletter, it goes out weekly on Sunday afternoon by email. And of course, we're posting, you know, in a year's time, we put up over 1,000 archives of shows that we've done. That's how many live interviews I do every year. So all those things. And, of course, we're posting hundreds of articles every year, new articles from myself and from our Brain Trust members. So I hope you'll take advantage of all that. And it's all free thanks to our corporate partners, which I also hope you'll thank for making that available to you. As I thank our good friend Jim Ostroff for being part of our world and sharing some of his wisdom with us when he joins us from time to time. Jim, we're talking about the global economy, the global expansion that Bill Dunkelberg called it last week, and what that global expansion has created, what it hath wrought, so to speak, as Samuel Morse would say, and what it hath wrought is higher inflation, probably global inflation. But still, Jim, it's just inflation. In other words, if things are going up at a certain percent, and it's not rising too much, it's inflation. It's not out of control inflation. So we may not like that it's going up, but we would be wringing our hands if it were going the other way.
That's correct. And the thing is, it's not runaway inflation. Again, it's not like, for even here, the situation we saw in the late 70s through 1980, where inflation was rising so fast and so hard that it was driving almost every business decision, because you figured your money would be worth less next year and even later in the year. It's not that.
It was causing people to borrow money that they shouldn't have borrowed because they were afraid not to go ahead and buy that house or whatever. And that's what happens with inflation and deflation. It's not so much the economics as it is the emotions.
The emotion, the psychology. But over here, still, we're closer to the proverbial Goldilocks scenario. It's pretty good. And really here, we're seeing the Fed and others saying, oh, well, we're just concerned. We want to make sure it doesn't start to gallop. But fact is, you know, we don't see that happen. We don't see inflation roaring past 10%, nowhere near that,
right?
Closer to 5.
Well, here's another reason why, you know, you guys asked the question, is an inflation-led slump ahead. One of the reasons why I don't think it is because, number one, we've gotten pretty good around most of the world being efficient with our work. We've got technology that helps us to be efficient. Everything that happens is not dependent upon a human being to do it, which involves, you know, raises. I mean, you know, human beings want to be paid more, which they are. I mean, I want to be paid more too. We are like that. But inflation from higher wages is one issue. Well, the more technology we use, the less of an impact we have from that, Jim. Also, you know, even though petroleum is considerably higher than it's been in a long time, we use less petroleum to create a dollar of GDP. So it has less of an impact. And let me say one more thing, and then I'll let you get your two cents in here, Jim. One more thing, and that's inventory, just-in-time inventory. Not just-in-case inventory, but making sure that you have inventory when you need it, not that you're building up storehouses, you know, of all this stuff. And so JIT, higher technology, less dependence upon oil per dollar of GDP, those three things, in my opinion, are what's going to help hold down the possibility of an inflation-led slump. What do you think?
I agree, and I think there really has been a transformation in our economy and our industry since the late 70s. And so we are far stronger and more immune to volatility, and we're able to take higher prices on basic inputs for longer periods of time without things crashing down. It is stronger, it is better, and it's more productive.
Well,
ultimately, more, all of that means, overall, higher standards of living.
Right. And of course, the fourth thing, Jim, is something you had mentioned earlier, and we've been talking about a little bit, and that's the impact that the global economy has. And I'd rather than call it globalization, because some people try to make that sound like a curse word, a four-letter word, but the global economy is what we need to be focusing on. And the global economy allows for global competition and for there to be, you know, for the consumer, the ultimate consumer, to get more for their money. And what's wrong with that?
That's the way it works.
You know, Jim, there's one other thing, too. Believe it or not, folks, I know that, you know, that we've got the war in Iraq, we've got what's going on in Afghanistan and all that. But, Jim, there's not that much war going on around the world. There are not that many countries building weapons to be prepared to fight each other.
They're fighting each other in the marketplace.
That's exactly right. And when goods cross borders, as Bastiat said 150 years ago, when goods cross borders, armies don't. 29 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Jim Ostroff. Stay with us.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. We got our good friend Jim Ostroff hanging around with us, too. We're glad to have him here. We're talking about inflation right now, primarily, folks, and how that's impacting you and me and our small businesses. Jim, one of the things that's causing inflation is increases in wages. But, Jim, you know, this is a healthy thing. If companies can charge more, if we can make more profit, if the economies are growing in a healthy way, I mean, that's the way of things, isn't it? I mean, look at how much people made. You know, when I was in college back in the 60s, Jim, I knew guys who made $12,000 a year and they were putting 2 kids through college.
Well,
you know, and now, you know, I mean, inflation is the way we live with that. That's part of our world. Things are higher. You know, you hear about things being adjusted for inflation. You know, gasoline prices, for example, Jim, right now, as high as they are, adjusted for inflation, are not as high as they were in the late 70s.
Or the high point in 1981, where they were well over $3 a gallon, if you adjust for inflation.
Adjusted for inflation, yeah.
And I was going to say, of course, too, you know, you talk adjust for inflation, this and that, but you know, a real measure, of course, is the number of hours it takes, you know, to earn enough money to buy, you might say, a car, a television, this and that. That, in a way, is the real, you might say, bread and butter issue. And, you know, the fact is that we are really richer in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot less to buy those things. Productivity, efficiency, technology, but also the globalization of business and trade.
Right, absolutely. And, of course, but now that's cold comfort, Jim, for small business owners who are having trouble passing along their higher costs to their customers. And my last piece of advice, Jim, for them, before we move over to another topic, is take an opportunity to raise your prices more incrementally. Don't wait until you need to raise prices a dollar. Raise prices 4 cents or 9 cents or 15 cents or whatever. But whenever you get a chance to raise your prices, do it incrementally. Don't make a big swing, and it won't seem like it won't seem as abrupt to your customers.
Good advice.
And so I that's what I recommend. I think you're going to have to be able to pass these prices along to your customers yourself. Otherwise, your profits are going to get squeezed, and you may put yourself into jeopardy. So this is an area, as inflation is going up, just pay attention to that, folks, and be a little more aware of that. And good luck. I guess I have to also say good luck to you, Jim. Let's move over and talk about some of those business costs, soaring prices for raw material. There's a lot of stuff going on out there with higher prices for this stuff, and this is, some of it's not inflationary, it's just higher, like petroleum and concrete and steel and sheetrock and things like that.
Oh absolutely, and we're seeing that all over, it's creating some problems, but by and large, and, you know, we've looked at this, it's not because of market manipulation.
Right.
And it's not because of just wild speculation. But there, of course, as always, there's some of that. But mainly, it's led, or it's due, and led by demand,
right.
Growing demand in the U.S. and other economies because, as mentioned, they're firing in sync. They're growing. So there's a lot more demand for all of these metals.
Well, China and India are sucking up resources like crazy. And then, Jim, you throw in the storms that we've had in the United States where all the building materials get sucked into down into the Gulf areas. It makes it hard for, you know, a lot of the things that are being rebuilt in, say, Florida and Louisiana, for example, Mississippi, those things are being covered by insurance. But so those people are not too bad, although, I mean, I'm sure they'd rather not have not lost their stuff. But at least the costs are being sort of somewhat absorbed by the insurance industry. But if you're in Spokane, Washington, or Bangor, Maine, or Schenectady, and you're having to pay more for the sheetrock for this new house you want to build, that's cold comfort knowing what's going on in Florida. All you know is you're having to pay a lot more for materials.
Well, you do, and there's no way around that.
And speaking of insurance, Jim, on the same topic of business costs, after 9/11, I heard Warren Buffett say, we haven't been charging enough premium for our insurance. As you know, their Hathaway, what's the other part of it?
Berkshire
Hathaway. They have a large insurance holdings, and when I heard him say that, I said, buckle your seatbelts, folks. You're about to pay a lot more for insurance, and that's exactly what's been happening. Stand by, Jim Ostroff. Folks, we'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us today. I remind you, I will be broadcasting live on Memorial Day. Wouldn't miss that for anything. This will be our 9th Memorial Day to broadcast live and in person, but I will be doing it from Florida because I'm going to be taking a little. What passes for me to be a vacation? It wouldn't be like anybody else's vacation, but what the kind that I have, whatever that is, folks, I'm going to have one next week. But that includes my vacation. Always includes, for the most part, me still being with you live every day. Jim Ostroff is our guest, and Jim Kiplinger has an outstanding website. I like telling my audience about it at Kiplinger.com. But the publications that you guys have are outstanding, and I've been a subscriber for many, and have been reading it for many years. The Kiplinger Letter is the weekly flagship letter that you and I work off of when you join us, and that we talk about every week. Also, you've got some biweekly publications: the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the California Letter.
Right.
Those come out every other week, and then you've got this the monthly magazine, don't you?
Right, Kiplinger Personal Finance.
And a lot of people rely on that every month. And I get mine in the mail, but you can also get it at newsstands. And every month they're available. And every time I turn around, some major media outlet is quoting something that Kiplinger says in the Personal Finance magazine.
They do, and I must say that's because the magazine does have very good reputation.
It's outstanding reputation.
It really does, helping people to understand their personal finances.
Exactly, and I encourage you folks to check that out. And you can subscribe on the website, Kiplinger.com, and also you can call a phone number. Jim, you got that toll-free number?
Oh, yeah, sure. It is toll-free, 800-544-01. 5-5.
The more you know about Kiplinger, folks, the more you understand what they do and start using their products, the more you're going to like it. And don't forget to ask them for that 30-day free trial. Jim, one quick thing on insurance before we leave that topic. Kiplinger predicts, Jim, you guys are predicting that there's no relief in sight to expect annual rates of increase of 10% for the foreseeable future, for years to come. Jim, that's frightening. That's almost, now we're going to be lamenting our property insurance the way we do for, the way we lament how high our health insurance is.
And his property insurance and
Maybe we did. Maybe for too long, Jim, we did have it too cheap. As you know, for a long time, the insurance on your house was not that much.
Right.
Maybe it was too cheap for a while, but I think they're more than making up for it now. And so folks, what that means is you got to start scrutinizing those bills. You got to start shopping around and making sure that you're not overpaying and Jim, I think another thing we got to make sure we don't do is over-insure. We may be buying more insurance than we need.
You are correct. You do need to scrutinize what you do, what you need, what you pay, and shop around. And a lot of people, individuals and companies, at the end of the day, do overinsure.
Yeah.
And they're paying for it.
Jim, let's move over and talk about another completely different topic from business, and although this is business-related, and that's the illegal alien, the undocumented workers that we have here. Can you help us sort all this out, Jim? I really hope you can.
Well, I say, of course, this is one of the hot-button issues of the day, of the year. the president has taken this on, made various proposals to deal with a very significant issue here. No matter what you think about it, it is an issue that must be dealt with and grappled with and looked at consistently for years.
And, Jim, have you ever seen an issue? When have you ever seen an issue in your career that create as many strange bedfellows as this one does?
Oh.
I mean, I actually heard Ted Kennedy praising President Bush the other day, and I'm going to tell you something. I sure thought I'd see pigs fly before that would happen.
I know, but absolutely. The senator...
But the Republicans are mad at the president.
They are, and the big issue here for many in the GOP is they just say, no way, if people broke the law for whatever reason, you do not give them any sort of help, amnesty, or ability to go on. And they just say no. And right now the Republican Party controls both houses, and particularly in the House, they're not budging. Will not cotton to amnesty in any way, shape, or form.
Here's something to think about, Jim.
Right.
When people break the law and they commit other crimes,
mm-hmm.
we have a justice system that is flexible, don't we? We have a justice system. When people break laws and they commit crimes and break laws, and there is no catalog. I mean, there is a catalog of what crimes cost you. But we all know that district attorneys and juries and judges say, okay, under certain circumstances, this is supposed to get 20 years, but we're gonna make this 5 years and 2 years time served and 3 years probation. I mean, they can do whatever they want to do
cases. They certainly can.
So we don't. I think, in my opinion, I agree with the people who say these people broke the law, but we got to realize that this is part of this is about flexing the justice system's discretion, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it is, and there's a reason why that happens, and it happens every day in court because that's what works. And that's what you need to do.
We got to deal with reality. I mean, the reality is we got 12 million undocumented workers here, mm-hmm. folks, and we're not going to round them all up and ship them all back. The economy doesn't need that to happen. So let's be realistic. Let's find a way to get these people integrated and but we got to stop the bleeding first. That's one thing that's got to happen. Tin Till, we'll be right back with Jim Ostroff. We got more to talk about. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ken Delecki. I had him on my mind, Jim. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's our good friend. How about that? You'll have to tell Ken I said that. Folks, Ken Delecki is a retired member of Kiplinger, who many of you remember has set in for Joan Pride before. And Jim Ostroff and I were talking about Ken off the air.
There he is.
And
he's back.
So he'll get a kick out of that, Jim. You be sure to tell Ken that I introduced him on the show and he wasn't here. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, not Ken, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim, back quickly to this illegal immigrant thing. Any solution, so-called solution, in my opinion. I don't know how, what's going to wind up happening. But anything that happens that requires the folks who are illegal to pay any kind of a big fine and any back taxes up more than, say, you know, a few months or something like that, is a loser. It's not going to happen. If I were illegal in this country and they told me I was going to have to come up with thousands of dollars and punitive reparations to the government, you'd never find me. I'd never come in out of the cold.
That's exactly
these
right.
Folks are barely getting by as it is. They're not. The idea is not that they don't think that you'd be right. It's not that that you might appeal to their sense of fair play and they say, you know what? Yeah, I probably owe that, but where am I going to get the money?
That's right. The result would be people would stay on the ground, and what that means, of course, is would continue by and large not to pay taxes.
That's right. And so that's a loser. We've got to forgive that. We've got to bring these people in. We've got to stop the bleeding. Close the borders off somehow. We got to get the people who are here assimilated, and get them moving towards citizenship, towards being paying taxes and leaving that money here. And that's what we got to do. And I think the president's plan is closest to that, isn't it? Isn't that pretty close to what he's talking about?
Yes, it is. It is.
Does his plan include them paying back taxes and fines? Do you remember?
I believe it doesn't.
I don't think it does.
I believe it does not.
And it scares me that maybe I'm agreeing with Ted Kennedy. That's always a frightening thing for me. It always gives me the heebie-jeebies if I ever agree with Ted Kennedy, folks, that's a time for me to go back and check my position. Jim, let's move down and talk about technology. Hydrogen is on the radar screen, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and the thing here is there's a lot of potential for the use of hydrogen one way or another as a transportation fuel and as things that could be used in place of oil or natural gas. And that's why the U.S. is basically holding, you might say, a lottery or a raffle. No, not mm-hmm. exactly that, but they will pay up to $70 million over the next 10 years, ultimately in what they term prize money, for those who have good ideas that seem to work to develop hydrogen as an energy source.
Well, it could be the key to our future energy situation, especially propulsion. Especially moving ourselves around. There are many people out there, and you guys have, Kiplinger has done a good job over the years, Jim, of reporting on the people who are developing hydrogen fuel cells.
Oh, well, yes, and
we've interviewed some of them. We've interviewed some of those people on the show before. It's very exciting, but apparently the breakthrough and the commercialization opportunity just isn't there yet.
Not yet. We need a lot more technical work to make it more practical and affordable. And I say, for those who say, oh, well, just, you know, pump it in pipelines and send it to gas stations, besides possible problems here with explosions, but you would be talking about investments in tens of billions of dollars mm-hmm. to build new infrastructure. It is much better to look at hydrogen as being hydrogen from fuel cells, which at some point will make a huge difference, but it's still more than a decade away.
That I wouldn't be surprised. And, of course, not only – and even, Jim, even if it were developed right now, if it were commercial available right now, we still got a lot of our infrastructure committed to petroleum, to carbon fuel. And it's going to take a while to convert that. Never mind the culture connection to all that.
No, that's right. It would be interesting to see where we are in mid-century and beyond with hydrogen. But
with any luck, Jim, you and I will be able to watch that. Maybe not much beyond that, but maybe all the way up to that. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim, and everybody.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen. Not Ken Dalecki, but Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm the other guy, and I'm glad you're here. And as you know, folks, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
The Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.